here. And some people say, well, maybe God used evolution. No, that's nonsense. If you study evolution and if you study creationism, there is no way that God used evolution. Period. It is a lie. They've never found the missing link. They're never going to find the missing link. This is so profound because this is so true for today. Then it says, because of that, God gave them into vain imaginations. In other words, whatever I imagine is true. Well, that's not true. I can imagine a lot of things. Doesn't mean it's true. So Paul was right on here. And then in verse 25, this is what happened because of that. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. You see, if you go back to the Roman Empire, you see that they began to change the truth of God. And that's why you see all these statues and all these goddesses they worshipped. And if you, how many have ever seen that statue of David that Michelangelo carved? If you look on that statue, his hands are about 1.5 times bigger than a normal hand. Because at that time, he was even influenced by man being God. And it's interesting that how today we exalt things and we exalt people and we make them bigger than life. Rock stars and movie stars, but hey, they've got problems. They, you know, we exalt them and worship them. And, oh, I got to go see them. I'm crying. Ah, that's worship, you see. And it's the same thing that happened in Paul's day when he's writing this thing. Now, let's talk about Paul a little bit. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him because he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Wow. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met him. Look at verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. There's a philosophy in the Roman Empire. They said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setting forth of strange gods because he's preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now, the Epicureans and the Stoics, they were a major group at that time. They influenced everybody from all the government down to the common man. Their philosophy had hit the nation of Rome. We have a lot of philosophers that Aristotle, a lot of them, their teachings and things are still being used today. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, philosophy, which is kind of like a philosophy is kind of like describing and giving meaning to life. And so the philosophers tried to give meaning to life, but it's without God's meaning for life. And let me just tell you what that did is it the Roman Empire and these philosophers actually introduced a thing called non-reason. In other words, there's not really any reason for anything. There's no reason for the reason God made stars. There's no reason for my existence. That started the age of non-reason, and I see that everywhere. What's the purpose of life? People don't know. The Epicureans and of the Stoics, with their philosophies, introduced a way of thinking that has led us to our worldview. The mindset declares that a person can authenticate himself by an act of the will. It believes that someone should abandon reason in a purposeless world where one can choose their own reality. So we're living in that time now of non-reason, and it started back then. I can decide who I am. I can decide if I'm the center of the universe. I can decide if I was created or I evolved. I can decide if I'm I was born a male, but I'm really a female inside. See, we're in the age of non-reason, which is really kind of coming to a climax from the Roman Empire. Interesting. Let's talk about the Epicureans. This is what they believe. And as I read both of these, I want you to kind of be thinking about how people think today. They believe the world was not made by any deity or with any design, but came into its being and form through a complex concourse of atoms, various sizes and magnitude, which met and jumbled and cemented together and so formed the world, and that the world is not governed by the providence of God. Wow. Is that rampant today? Atheism just happened to come out. They believe that. But the Stoics believe this. They believe there is one God. Paul said the devils believe and tremble. And that the world was made by him. They do believe that God made the world. But the world is governed by fate, not God. They believe that personal happiness is the greatest virtue. Also, there is no real evil in the world, and that a wise and good man is one whose passion is to always to be in a state of happiness and pursue that happiness at any cost. All of these shootings the last 3 and 4 years, especially the guy that did it from the hotel room on that concert, people are like, well, why did he do it? What was his motive? And it's like they're going around the circle because there's evil in the world. There's a devil in the world that uses people's personalities because he's the father, the murderer from the beginning. It's like, and people can't put their hand in because they want to deny evil. But there is evil. I said there is evil. And he's a person with a personality that has a lot of cohorts of demons in the earth. But you're never going to hear it on any news channel because that's not, they don't have the discernment. Now, some of them might on there, but they probably can't come out and say, you know what, the reason that guy killed people is because the devil got in him. You're never going to hear that on television. Because it's the job of the preacher. How can they hear without a preacher? You see, pulpits need to be filled not with puppets, but with prophets saying, listen, we are no different than the Roman Empire. And if we think that we're just going to keep on skipping and God's not going to allow something to come to stir us up and stir our nation back to the cross, well, we haven't read our Bibles. Amen. Thank God that we have truth here in this church. Thank God we're not just preaching ourselves. We're preaching Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Amen. Let's talk about truth. Truth is the basis for all reason. That's why we study the Bible. We preach the Bible. We listen to the Bible. We sing the Bible. Truth is the reason. It's the basis for my reason. And sometimes we don't think reasonably. Sometimes our thinking gets off. It's not reasonable. I need to get back to the Bible because that's the only thing that adjusts my thinking. If you feel like, well, no one likes me, no one loves me, well, that's unreasonable because the Bible says God loves you. So all of our thoughts can be brought back to a place that they're reasonable thoughts. Amen. Now, let's look what happens if we give in to falsehoods. Judges 21:25, and I believe that we're dealing with this today too. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Wow. No truth, then you give in to falsehood. There was no king. Everybody did that which was right. Wowzer. Matt, you talk about age of non-reason. You talk about no absolutes. So who was right back there? Only the person that studied the scriptures and lived the Bible was right, had the truth. He was right. Now, the truth, of course, we can only find in God's word, and the lie is man's non-reason. That's what truth is. Man, you know, man can reason himself right out of heaven. The fool has said there is no God. That's, you know, that's reason. That's a reasonable, that's a conclusion come that came by reasoning. But where did the person get the elements to make the conclusion based on reason? Something had to feed him or her, because you don't come up with a conclusion unless you have different types of articles of falsehood and truth, and you decide which one. So somewhere there was an input where a person made. You don't make that decision, you know, when you're 2 months old. Oh, I don't believe in God. There's input came in. Hurt came in. I can't believe God would let me suffer. I can't believe God would allow my loved one to die. Input came in, and people drew conclusions that were false. And see, only the cross can give us understanding about this. Only the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection can cause us to get all those threads of non-reason back to reason. And we become like the man that had the legion of demons. We become clothed and in our right mind because we encounter truth. We encounter Jesus Christ. Just think where some of us would be if we hadn't met Christ, where our thinking breakdowns and emotional. Just think, folks. This Bible will keep you for an emotional and mental breakdown. The truth in this word will stop you from having a nervous breakdown. When others do, and I'm very compassionate for people that have emotional things, but you got to get back to the truth, because that thing that's causing it is a lie. Those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The job of the church and of preachers and teachers and elders and everyone to speak the truth in love. Amen. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You know, when you buy something, you have to exchange something. Every service you come to hear the word of God, you need to be buying the truth. What are you exchanging for it? Things that are not true. Things that are half-truths. Things that I haven't worked through. Some non-reason. It's an exchange thing. Please don't ever come to church and say, well, he's preaching on Psalm 23, I already know it. See, right there, you've just stopped from buying the truth. There might be two things you've never heard or things that are for you. We all have to be careful of that, because familiarity can cause us to think, well, I don't need any more of that truth. I know a pastor in the 1800s, he preached on the same sermon 6 weeks in a row, the same exact one. Famous preacher. And finally, an elder came up and said, why are you preaching the same message? He says, well, when they get it, I'll stop. I'm just wondering sometimes if we go too quickly with the scriptures with a topic we haven't grasped it yet. I don't know if I would ever do that, but it's just an interesting thing to think about, buying the truth and don't sell it. Paul said, wherever you've obtained, stay there, stand there. If you have a certain amount of truth, don't go back and live like you did 10 years ago when you had just a little of truth. Stand with what you got. And that's not always easy. Sometimes your flesh has to die. Let me give you one more scripture, and I love this. How do I get more truth? And, well, we know it's the Bible, preaching. I believe seeking God opens truth to us. Matthew 7:7, ask and shall be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened to you. We use that scripture basically for everything about getting more truth. Things, wife, husband, and that's all in there. But you know, all of us have to come to a place in our spiritual life that, you know, we've heard it all, we've seen it all, we've heard everything, but there's got to be more truth. I can't believe that even though I've been saved all these years and heard thousands of hours of preaching, I can't believe that I still have all the truth I need. I can't believe it. Because all through eternity, Paul said God's going to reveal to us his kindness and his greatness. So sometimes I have to be careful that, okay, well, I've heard that, yet I've heard it, but number one, am I walking in it? Number two, have I experienced the breadth and the height and the length of it? Number three, have I used the truth to get rid of my non-reason? And some of my non-reason is so tied to deep-seated attitudes that some are good and some are not so good, that the threading of new truth has to come and sometimes compete with roots of things that I should have been done with years ago. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I'm saying, okay, God, what do I need? I need truth in the inward part. David said that in Psalm 51. He said, thou desirest truth in the inward part. You have a problem with lust, you need truth in the inward part. Problem with greed, you need some more truth. Problem with, you know, not forgiving quickly, you need more truth. Problem with submission, you need more truth. You need more truth. Doesn't mean we're bad people. Amen. I just need more truth down there. And I don't want to walk around with a lot of truth and still some non-reason. Although Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. He said, listen, I've not arrived, but one thing I've done, I forgot those things that God showed me to forget, and I'm pressing on, not just to fulfill my calling, but to know Christ, which is to know more truth. You can see, and I'm about ready to close, you can see just in the history of denominations and things, how that churches started in truth and they got into other stuff. Let's take the Roman Catholic Church. When it first started, you know, they thought, well, I'm going to mix the, and I can say it because I was part of that. I was in Catholic school, and this isn't a criticism, it's an observation. But what happened was that they took some philosophy from Rome and they went into the period of, you know, the Renaissance, and what they did is they kind of had the Bible, but then they felt like, well, you've got to earn things from God. And you know that St. Peter's, what is it? That over there. A lot of that was built with priests, and you can research this, that said that, you know, you had to pay to get your family out of hell or whatever. Yeah, purgatory. A lot of that, you know, that was, a lot of that was built because of that. You see, that was the church at that time. Thank God that, you know, God raised up Martin Luther. So Martin Luther, a German, he was a monk, he was a priest. He goes to the Wittenberg church and he nails 90 theses, which 90 things that were against what the church was doing according to Scripture. And they actually had to hide him because they were going to kill him. The church was going to kill him. But they had gotten off truth. And he would preach, the just shall live by faith. It was by faith. You don't have to pay a priest. But they were living fat and sassy. And the church was putting yokes on people that even when I was a little boy going to Mass, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy. Not worthy, not worthy. It was like, it's so ingrained in me. I just gave up. So I'm not worthy. What's the point? I'm not a profitable, I'm unprofitable. What's the point? I say, what's the point? God, I'm never going to be worthy. You see, that non-reason that had gone down all the generations of my mom's family was so accepted that this is God, that was my concept of God, which was not true. But there's a lot of denominations that they had the truth. But when the day of Pentecost came, God put a mandate that the Holy Spirit needs to be in the church. But a lot of churches that were started, and then when Azusa Street hit in 1909, some of the major denominations that were not moving in the Spirit, they came against it. No, we don't want the tongues. So even though they had truth, because they had allowed some human non-reasoning in about what God, what they think God should do, God raised up other people. Some of them embraced it. Some of them didn't. God raised up the Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ. AME, I tell you, a lot of churches came out of that because they embraced truth. And there's a lot of people that love God and stuff, but their denomination and church has stopped. We don't want any speaking in tongues. We don't want any gifts of the Spirit. We don't believe in the prophet. We don't believe in the apostle. Those things have passed away. And see, God loves them, but after a while, say, you know what? Y'all going to die and go to heaven, but I got to raise up some people that are going to press on and make sure that they're not caught in some ideology of a last generation and people that are more religious. They didn't start out that way, but they become religious and said, this is God and this is it. See, that's even their spiritual absolutes. So how should we live then? We live by truth. We hunger for truth. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, after truth. What's the truth, Lord? Would you show me the truth? Start with ourselves. Lord, show me the truth about myself. Show me why I'm inconsistent over here. Now, Lord, show us the truth about our city. Show us the truth about our family, about our nation. It's the truth. Show us the truth about abortion. Show us the truth about gay marriages. Show us the truth about greed, the love of money. Show us the truth about racism and hatred and prejudice. Show us the truth. And then help us to have a plan of action with that truth. Show us so that just don't leave us with the truth. Equip us to take that truth and make a difference in the world. Because if I'm just shown the truth, but I don't walk it out, I'm only here. And when I do the truth and keep doing the truth and keep doing the truth, I make sure that I'm living by an absolute, not a non-reason. Truth in the inward part. See, it was too late for David after he wrote that, because if he would have asked himself for truth when he started having one wife, two wives, 10 wives, if he would have asked himself, why do I need all these wives and concubines? It wasn't just to make babies, folks. He was having the time of his life in that area. If he would have asked himself, how come you're not going out to battle, David? How come you're not going out again? Can you imagine, Pastor, if David, when he announced to Joab, I'm not going out tomorrow, I'm just going to stay in. Can you imagine after Joab left, he went and just kind of worshiped, and then he thought about that. You know what, David? How come you're not going out? Huh? Okay, you didn't go out. So the next night, as Bathsheba is parading around, and it wasn't her fault, he took advantage of her. And he saw her beauty. He could have at that time the truth, David. Aren't you giving in to something you shouldn't be? Huh? God says, I desire truth in the inward part. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to be phony. I'm not going to smile at your face and talk about you. God has no delight in that. Wants us to be real, the truth, with love. Tomorrow they're coming from Channel 8 to do some filming and interview, or me to give a little thing. One thing Pastor Deb said, Bill, just don't use your TV voice. So glad you're going to come. You know, this is the Rock Church. I just want to tell you something. If you're looking for a church home, I want you to come. That's right, you sitting there. I want you to come. We have a coffee bar. What else do you want? A gymnasium. Please come. You'll be blessed. This is Pastor Swat with the Rock Church of Petersburg, 2301 County Drive. Hope you can come. See you. I said, you're right. You're right. So they gave me the script. I'm just going to say, hey, it's Pastor Swat with the Rock Church. Friendly, I don't know what the script says. Hey, come see us. Huh? Talks about this as a home. Yeah. Come, it's a family. You know, I'm done trying to impress. You know, same way with you. You don't have to impress anybody. There's only one person I need to please. I don't want to impress anybody. The God who made you so you don't have to be something you're not. We'll never measure up to somebody else. I don't care anymore. I'm not trying to measure up to any preacher or any pastor. Same way with you. You don't have to measure up to any other person. You be you. You be real. See, that's walking in truth. People that are in the age of non-reason put a lot of facades on. Yeah. Can we be real? Can we be truthful? Can we move forward together and see God flood our city, our families with truth, and somehow by the grace of God bring them back into the age of truth and out of non-reason? Can we stand up tonight? Heavenly Father, we all are in need of grace and truth. We all are in need of the candle of the Lord that searches the inward parts. Lord, we just want you to find truth there. Help us with any non-reason, any justifications that are not true, any self-images of ourselves that either exalted or debased. Help us to find the middle ground. Help us to walk on that highway, not in a valley, not on a mountain, but on a highway where you walk, a highway of holiness. Let absolutes governed by the love of God reign in our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand tonight. Have fun, ladies. Men, we'll see you Saturday at 10:00.